right. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here today. My name is Tommy Butts. I'm a graduate student at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, a PhD student. And today I'll be talking about the use of pulse width modulation sprayer systems to optimize Enlist Duo applications. So first of all, I would like to say that we have come a long way in the past century in application technologies. We're no longer using horse-drawn carriages to apply our pesticides. We're using very advanced sprayer systems, and our technology is constantly increasing every single day with what we're using to apply these pesticide applications. However, not everything has changed in the past century in agriculture, and I happen to find a direct quote from a 1938 textbook that proves that. And the quote that I found from this textbook happens to be, "The farmer has many problems." So not everything has changed in 100 years. We still have many problems, but those problems have changed in the past century. And one of those problems happens to be spray particle drift. And because of spray particle drift, there's been a huge emphasis placed on increasing our spray droplet size. And the reason for that is because when we increase our spray droplet size, we can minimize our drift potential. It's also led to very new restrictions on our new labels for products. For example, Enlist Duo. With these new products, it tells us explicitly right on the label what nozzles and pressures and tank mixes that we can use to influence our droplet size to make sure that we're not increasing our potential drift. So we've created very, very specific labels now based on these drift control premises. But we haven't really investigated how this increase in droplet size actually impacts our weed control, our efficacy. So that leads us into trying to do some site-specific pest management strategies. And with this, we could use an optimum spray droplet size, so a very limited range of spray droplets, to maximize our efficacy while still trying to minimize our spray drift potential. So that's the goal with some of our site-specific pest management strategies. And one way that we can kind of try and achieve this site-specific pest management is through the use of pulse width modulation sprayers. Now, pulse width modulation sprayers use solenoid valves at each and every nozzle that pulse, normally at a 10 hertz frequency. And what it does is we can control our flow rate variably as we go across the field, so we can get our very precise and active flow rate changes across our field. And the relative proportion of time that each one of those solenoid valves is open is known as our duty cycle. And I'll explain that a little bit more in the next slide. But so as this pulse width sprayer crosses a field and is pulsing, the duty cycle has been previously shown to have a minimal impact on droplet size. So if we choose a nozzle and a pressure, we can basically have a standard droplet size across an entire field and have a very site-specific strategy with these systems. The other advantages for pulse width modulation systems happen to be that we can be very precise through individual nozzle controls, turn compensations, overlap, all those kinds of things. It's also a very quick real-time flow rate change. So in a matter of milliseconds, our flow is changed right at our nozzle, which is excellent for our precision applications. And also, once again, then we don't need pressure-based changes as in some of our current application systems. And with no pressure changes, we're not influencing that droplet size. So once again, we can get an optimum droplet size across our field. So I said I would help explain the duty cycle a little bit more, and I'm showing that here with these four high-speed videos that you see up here. In all the videos, it's the same nozzle at the same pressure. The only thing that's changing is the duty cycle that we're pulsing these nozzles at. And so in the upper left corner, you'll see a 20% duty cycle, in the lower right corner, all the way down to the lower right corner, where you'll see an 80% duty cycle. You'll notice that each one of these nozzles turns on at the exact same time. Like I said, they're operated on a 10 hertz frequency, so they're pulsing 10 times per second no matter what. But what changes is that relative proportion of time that they're open. So the 80% duty cycle is open 80% of the time. The 20% duty cycle is open 20% of the time. So that's what's changing across our field when we're using these pulse width modulation sprayers. So based on this site-specific management strategy theory, we had a couple objectives that we wanted to do with our research. The first of which was to evaluate the effect of spray droplet size using pulse width modulation on glyphosate plus 2,4-D. That's what Enlist Duo is. Then we also wanted to kind of create an optimum droplet size recommendation for maximizing our weed control in the field while still reducing our drift concerns for a site-specific basis. To determine our droplet size treatments, we used our laser diffraction, our Symbitek laser diffraction system that's located in North Platte, Nebraska, at the Pesticide Application Technology Laboratory. And basically what we did is I went in and tested different nozzles and pressures and identified through the DV50, which basically means that 50% of the spray volume that passed through that nozzle is at that size or smaller. So we used the DV50s as our cutoffs for our droplet size treatments, and we used the laser diffraction system to find the appropriate nozzle and pressure combinations to create these treatments. Here's the table just to show the treatments. As you can see, our droplet sizes range from 150 to 900 microns. So that's basically our entire range that we use in agricultural spray applications is the 150 to 900 microns with our different nozzles and pressures that we use to get those treatments. The experimental design, it was a randomized complete block design with at least four replications. We tried to spray a little bit taller weeds so they were greater than or equal to at least 15 centimeter tall weeds across our sites. We had three locations, one in Mississippi, one in North Dakota, and one in Nebraska, and across 2 years as of right now. And then as you can see our treatments, we had the six droplet sizes plus a non-treated control, and then the herbicide was Enlist Duo. Also, I should mention this was conducted in non-crop situations. We were just in a fallow. We wanted to see strictly without the influence of a crop canopy how this herbicide would act with droplet size. The applications were made using a capstan pinpoint pulse width modulation sprayer, which you can see in the picture right there. And then we used only non-venturi or non-air inclusion nozzles on the system, which you can see just some examples down there at the bottom. And the reason we use those is it's recommended not to use air inclusion or venturi type nozzles on pulse width modulation sprayer systems. So we used these ones as they were recommended from the company. The data that we collected, we had several different data collection measures. We had visual estimations of injury that were recorded 28 days after the treatment. The day of application, we actually also marked 10 plants per plot. And at 28 days after treatment, those 10 plants were rated individually for mortality, so whether they were alive or dead. And then we collected the biomass from those plants to be able to give us a quantitative value on the biomass reduction for those different weed species. And then for the analysis, we used general additive models, or GAM models, which is just a nonlinear model, and we could estimate that an optimum spray droplet size for weed control. So for the results, I do have all the results broken out by location as well, by location and by our data collected. So the first one comes to us from Dundee, Mississippi. This graphic is for Palmer amaranth mortality. So on this graph, on the Y is our mortality, on the X is our droplet size. So a higher level on this graph is better control. More of those Palmer amaranth plants were dead from this graph. So as you can see, basically, it was relatively linear across that line. There's not much change across droplet size. And actually, our optimum droplet size, or the one that had the highest mortality of Palmer amaranth, was a 900 micron droplet size. So that largest droplet size we could produce actually had the highest mortality rating for Palmer amaranth biomass. However, you'll also know this model only explained roughly 12% of the variation in our measurements there. For the dry biomass factor from Mississippi, we actually see just a little bit of a different pattern. Here there's more of an effect from droplet size, and it actually explained 20% of our deviance. And you'll notice that really the optimum droplet size is achieved somewhere right around 600 microns there, and we started losing control. Now in this duo I mentioned with glyphosate and 2,4-D, those are both two systemic herbicides. Normally, in conventional agriculture, we've always assumed that a systemic herbicide, we can constantly increase our droplet size and we won't lose our weed control. We'll be fine. And what our research is starting to show is that we are almost hitting critical limits where we are losing our weed control even with systemic-based herbicides in these scenarios. So that was Mississippi. In North Dakota, they collected just the visual estimations of injury, so that's what we have presented here. And you'll notice a somewhat similar pattern there as Mississippi, where relatively speaking, it's kind of level across here. So again, okay, this is visual estimations of injury on the Y droplet size. So on this graphic, higher is better, again, for our control. At a very small droplet size, we seem to have good control, but really the optimum was achieved right over here, closer to 750 microns in size. But once again, we started losing control when we got larger than 750 microns. Even with those systemic herbicides, we're seeing cutoffs. In Nebraska, we had kochia as our main weed species there. For the visual estimations of injury, our best control here, the highest amount that we saw was up around 70%, around the 350 to 450 micron size range, and we started losing control as the droplet size got larger. Similar pattern with mortality. Once again, a higher number is better here. We saw roughly 60% mortality from our kochia plants, again, right around that 350 to 450 micron range, and we lost control as we got a larger droplet size. And finally, for the dry biomass from kochia, so on this graphic, lower is better because we want less kochia biomass out there by the end of the season. We see, once again, that best optimum droplet size was right there around that 350, 450 micron size because we had the lowest kochia biomass left. And we saw some very significant increases in kochia biomass left when we got up to that 900 micron size range. And this graphic, or this model, actually explained a little over 40% of our deviance. So we're seeing a significant amount from this effect from droplet size on our weed control. So to kind of summarize everything up, the optimum droplet sizes that we saw for weed control at each location. In Mississippi, for the plant mortality side of things, their optimum droplet size was 900 microns, or what would be an ultra-coarse spray quality. For the dry biomass, though, it was actually a 620 micron droplet, or an extremely coarse spray quality. When we look at North Dakota's, theirs came back, and their optimum prediction for optimum weed control is at 720 microns, or an extremely coarse spray quality. And in Nebraska, it ranged from 350 microns to 430 microns for that optimum spray droplet size, which was a medium or a coarse spray classification. So in Nebraska, it was actually a little bit smaller of a droplet size than everywhere else that optimized our weed control. However, just some general trends that we can take away from all three locations was the fact that nearly across all measurements and across the locations, when we were using this Enlist Dual product, there was a reduction in weed control when droplet sizes less than 350 microns or a medium spray quality, or if we used greater than that 720 micron droplet or greater than an extremely coarse spray quality. So we're seeing, again, systemic-based products. If we try and use an ultra-coarse spray quality, we're probably going to lose some control with this product. And if we use too small of droplets, we're increasing our drift potential with it, and we're also losing our efficacy as well. So to sum everything up, the optimum Enlist Duo efficacy occurred with droplet sizes between 350 and 720 microns, or a medium to an extremely coarse spray quality. And even with systemic herbicides, there appears to be a critical droplet size in which, if we cross it, we're going to lose some control. So we must find some alternative methods for our particle drift mitigation other than just constantly increasing droplet size. We need to aim for another method for drift reduction, otherwise we're going to see significant losses in our weed control. Also, for our site-specific application scenarios, geographic location and weed species may be crucial components to consider when trying to determine an optimum spray droplet size. So as I mentioned, Nebraska had lower spray qualities that actually optimized our weed control than the other two locations. We also were the only location with kochia, and we're also in the dry desert of western Nebraska compared to a hot, humid climate in Mississippi and a relatively well-watered area in Fargo, North Dakota. So very different locations. The site-specific strategies may need to be optimized for each individual location and weed species as well. And finally, we were able to show, though, that optimum spray droplet sizes and the resulting site-specific management strategies can be effectively applied using pulse width modulation sprayers. So with that, I'd like to thank you for listening today, and I will take any questions if you have them for me. Sure. So with that, I would also like to welcome you to my poster later today at 4 to 6. I'm going to talk about some best use practices with pulse width modulation sprayers. On the coverage side of things, there's only been a couple studies done, but basically what they found is that when you get down around a 20% duty cycle, you can potentially start seeing skips. There's also some other things that go really wrong with the 20% duty cycle. The other thing, though, that the companies have done on these systems to try and eliminate coverage issues is they have what's called blended pulse, and basically they set up every other solenoid on the opposite frequency. And so if you're at a 50% duty cycle, you never have two nozzles that are off at the same time next to each other.
I have a follow-up. So I don't understand, why are there differences in droplet size between maximum mortality and minimum biomass? Why is that going on?
So the mortality ratings, I mean, there's still a visual rating whether we're determining, live versus dead. And so a lot of our plants, especially with these two systemic-based products, when you have a growth regulator, which is 2,4-D, it gets to be a little kind of iffy to determine whether they're alive or dead after 28 days. And so I think a little bit of that is just ratings error across the locations. Yeah. Start back there. Okay. So a good question. We haven't. We just did strictly the herbicide because we wanted to just test the efficacy from the herbicides. We haven't added in the adjuvants on this side of things yet. We've tested a lot with the adjuvants in the wind tunnel and things, but not on our efficacy side of things yet. That's coming in the future. Yeah. Start back here.
Did you record the wind speed when you were using all three locations?
We did. Everybody did record those. I don't have those on me, but we remained on the label for everything. So I know in Nebraska, at least our wind speeds were normally between 6 to 10 miles an hour that we were spraying at. I believe it was a little less in both North Dakota and Mississippi, a little bit lower than that. But I could check for you, but I don't have them with me right now. Yes?
At those different spray qualities, what percent fine droplets did you have?
So it ranges a little bit, but if you're up in the ultra, so I'll just kind of give you the two extremes. So the when you're at the lowest, like the medium was the lowest one that was optimum for weed control in ours. At that medium with driftable fines, less than 150 microns, you're probably at least around 10%, 12%, somewhere in there. So very highly driftable, basically. The extremely coarse spray quality on the other end, there, those droplets, you're probably getting down around maybe 2% driftable fines, even less probably. Just a real rough estimate for these nozzles because everything kind of changes that, but that's a rough estimate at least. Yeah.
Exceptional presentation. Good luck.
Thank you.